Good morning. Good morning, everyone. It's so glad to see you this morning here at the Lighthouse. We're happy you're joining us this morning. And today is Youth Sunday, so we intentionally asked some young people to help us with all of our ministries. So if you see them today, let them know how good of a job they're doing and how much we appreciate them helping out. I have Sam helping us this morning with announcements. And I wanted to let you know, just now, our projector bulb blew. So we will not have a projector on the screen this morning. And please be in prayer for that, because when we order it, sometimes it takes weeks to come in. So we will work on getting that fixed, hopefully soon.
Talent Expo primary and juniors are practicing every Tuesday from 6 to 8 p.m., ages 4 through 12. Teens practicing Sundays. See teens pastors for details.
All right, and we are also scheduling a baptism. So if you are wanting to be baptized, please see Pastor Joe or myself and let us know that so we can get you on the list and we will get a date set for that. We are not going to the creek, but we are going to borrow the church in Findlay. They have a baptismal. It will probably be on a Sunday night. So if you are wanting to be baptized in a baptismal, some people have preferences. Some prefer the creek. Some prefer the cleaner water. Either way, you're being baptized. It's important. But please see us if you're interested, and we will get that scheduled.
Men's Mentoring Moment this Friday at 7 p.m.
And then we also are doing one membership makeup class. There are a few people who couldn't make the membership class. So if you did not make it and you still want to be a member for this year, you can come this Saturday at 3:30 p.m. right here at the church. So Saturday, 3:30, if you want to be a member.
Love Packages collection through the month of February. You can donate used Bibles and any Christian literature in the totes in the back.
And last announcement, save the date. We have our annual women's conference coming up. I am always super excited about this event. We always have a powerful time in the Lord. This year, Pastor Teresa Parks from Promised Land Church in Jackson will be ministering with us. And we always start Friday night. That'll be March 10th. We'll have our women's mentoring moments right here at the church, like normal, at 7 p.m. But then we're offering any ladies, teens, girls who want to stay and spend the night. We have some people sleeping on the pews, some people bring air mattresses. Whatever you want to do, you're more than welcome to join us if you'd like. If you'd rather go home and sleep in your own bed, we understand. And then Saturday starts our conference at 10 a.m. So please get that marked in your calendar. Please start inviting people. We will have some flyers soon to pass out. It is already on social media, so please share it. And we want to see not only our Christian sisters, but if you have some unsaved loved ones, unsaved neighbors, please bring them. I believe that they will be impacted for the gospel on that event. So March 10th and 11th.
And at this time, Jesse and Landon are coming with the morning scripture.
Well, good morning. I would like to thank you all for coming out here today, and I just want to introduce again Landon Gilbert, and I just want to ask that you give him a hand this morning, because it's not easy for a young man to come up here and do this, right? I probably would have fell over dead in my chair if an adult would have came up and asked me to do this at his age, so just give him your undivided attention this morning.
The scripture I chose to share with you is Isaiah chapter 45, verse 2. Is I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut bars of iron. This means God can do anything for you. You just have to accept him in your heart.
Hallelujah. Good word. So I'd ask at this time if you just stand with us, and we'll pray over the tithes and offerings as we bring them. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, God, and I thank you for each one that's here, God, and the gifts you've put inside of us. We just pray that you bring them forth, God, to edify your kingdom, Pray that you bless these tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord, it's the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. And we are in that army of the Lord. We've been bought with the tithe, and we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise, a two-edged sword, every stronghold of bondage will fall between our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free, for our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. We're the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. Let the earth be silent, let the wind cease to blow, every created being fold your wings. There's a new song being sung with a new melody. It's the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. For we are in that army of the Lord. We've been washed in the blood, and we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise, a two-edged sword, every stronghold of bondage must fall between our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free, for our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. We're the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. And we are in that army of the Lord. We've been bought with the price, and we are going forth. There is nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout of praise, a two-edged sword, every stronghold of bondage must fall between our feet. Every prisoner held captive must be free, for our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. It's the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. For our deliverance has come through the power of the Son. We're the blood bought, the church, the redeemed. All I
I want them to stay at this song for a few more minutes. And I feel like we need to set an example right now. That if you've ever been in that place where you've been broken, where you felt lost, but you felt God find you, I want you to come up to this altar and just stand here as a testimony that I once was lost. I once was broken. But God found me. And the reason I feel like we need to do this morning is there are people who are still lost. And they look at you and they think you're perfect. They think that you never had any issues. I've had issues. I've had pain that I didn't know how I was going to make it through. But God found me in my mess. And he turned it around because that's the God that we serve. And right now, these people are testifying that whether you're online watching or whether you're in the building and you feel broken, there is a God who is able to take the brokenness and turn it around into something beautiful. So let's just sing that bridge a few more times and let us thank God that he's done it. And let us thank God that he's still doing it. And if you're broken, I just encourage you to reach out and say, God, help. God, help me. And he will. I promise you, he will meet you in your mess. And he will work it out for your good as only he can.
Leaving my husband several times. I was depressed. I hated who I was. But he met me where I was. And so many times, because I was raised up in church, I knew the church rules. I knew what to do. You could walk that line and knew what you had to do to be a church girl. And I thought I had to come here perfect. There was too much brokenness for God to heal me. But when I finally came and just laid it to him and said, you take what I have. I didn't stress about being perfect anymore. I gave it to him at the altar and he does what he wants in me. And we are actually going to go to the bridge again. Because when I thought I lost me, he knew right where I was. He met me right where I was, and he pulled me out. And no matter, like Alicia said, if you're online, you can be pulled out right now in the name of Jesus.
Congregation, sing that out.
For us, heaven's angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live to breathe, to worship you. At the mention of your greatness, in your name I will bow down. In your presence fear is silence, for you wear the victor's crown. Let your glory fill this temple, let your power overflow. By your grace I live and breathe to worship. Of Messiah, you're the hope of all the world. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. Hallelujah.
You were buried in the ground, but the grave could not contain you. You wear the victor's crown. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome.
Must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome.
Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome.
At the cross, your work was finished. You were buried in the ground, but the grave could not contain you, for you wear the
your hands if you're not already. Give Jesus Christ praise right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. We worship you. We praise you. We adore you. We honor you, Lord, right now. Not only with our lips, but with our hearts, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is what I felt impressed to do, and This is very appropriate for this time of praise and worship we're in right now. But we've been singing how Jesus is our overcomer. And we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We know that. The scripture tells us that. We are overcomers through Jesus Christ. And we have brothers and sisters amongst us. Now, you have to know this. There are brothers and sisters across this world that we don't even know, but they're our brothers and sisters. They're going through things, right? But we have people we know, people we're connected to that are going through things. And I felt a move of the Spirit while we were worshiping that every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. Everything that we're declaring is done by the name of Jesus, right? All of a sudden, there started becoming a stirring in hearts of intercession. You understand that? God will move his people into intercession at moments and times. And we're there right now. It's still sitting on us. So this is what we're going to do. I want you to find somebody close to you, grab their hand, and we're going to begin to intercede and pray for people. Yeah, go ahead. The person right beside you is your family member. So grab a hold of their hand. And we're going to begin to pray right now. Now, Brother Jerry Greer just had surgery. Sister Melody Hooper just had surgery. They need our prayers. I got word, Brother Jerry Moorhart's not here this morning because he's not feeling well. He needs our prayers. There are other people that you've heard, that you've seen on our prayer chains. There's a young man named Cody. Is it Cody or Corey? God knows his name exactly. But his mom died of colon cancer or pancreatic cancer, something like that. And they found a lump in him and they had to remove it. He's scared to death right now that he's going to die from the same thing. We're going to pray life into him right now. Why? Because God has rested upon us by his anointing to step into intercessory prayer right now by faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, the name that has all power in heaven and in earth, we declare freedom by that name right now. We declare deliverance by that name right now. We declare salvation by that name right now. We declare healing by that name right now. And it's not because of our emotions. It's not because of this moment that we have stirred something up, but it is because of your power that rests upon us through the Holy Spirit that we can declare these things and see them done. It is by our faith in you, Jesus, that we declare those things that are not as though they are done. And so we declare healing. We declare recovery in these bodies right now that have just had surgery. We declare healing of the sick disease, the viruses and the bacteria that is in bodies right now. We command cancer to leave bodies right now in the name of Jesus. You see those that are on our hearts, that are struggling, that are running from you, God. We speak life into them right now, that they would turn and come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. You see our financial situations, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're meeting our needs and you're giving us wisdom, Lord. You're giving us wisdom right now. We stand and intercede for people who are dealing with financial issues that's burdening them and to the point they're becoming oppressed and depressed right now. We stand in for them right now, Father. Ha ma sebetu russo broto debisi resto kosheki bitebisi. We declare freedom in the name of Jesus in people's lives. You see that one that's gripped by drugs and alcohol. You see that one that's gripped by perversion and pornography. You see that one that is gripped by the cares of this world and it's choking them out. We declare freedom in the name of Jesus right now. We intercede for them, God. Move on their behalf. Hear our prayers. Hear our cry. And move in your people. May your glory be revealed in this earth. May your glory be revealed amongst us, Lord. Resto probo costi bidis etere mosso. Prosiki tere bere la mamma mamma si kama masi. Rosso cobra mamma nana masse tere basie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, begin to pray in heavenly languages right now. You're connecting to God, directly to God, and your faith is joining God's faith, and it's pure, and it's touching the throne room of heaven, and He's hearing, and He's moving as you pray in heavenly languages. It's an intercessory language God has given you right now. Come on, pray it out. Pray it out. Yiki shopo hata aka rastu pohoshi risti mana rosuku shamiki da sora masaya titisti oya brosto tiri brosso koba dele mesi rastoria shikist ero maha broko shekore mist itiri bihaya rosti tishikiti aba anana amaso brosiki shete da mama rabah ramat arbistiti Dis ora manere de maharamasai. Ye kisht, e kisht, e kusht, e debishitisi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, Father, we join in one voice, in unity, to honor you, because we know that you've heard our prayer. And God, you see some of us that have been carrying heavy burdens. Heavy burdens, we've been grieved by this. It's not even our own life, it's other people's lives. Our hearts have been gripped by their situation. And through your tender mercies, we have been compelled to have compassion upon them. And Father, what we do right now is we release this to you in faith. And God, we'll get up tomorrow morning, and if the burden's there, we'll release it to you in faith again. And God, if we get up in the next morning and the burden's there, we'll release it to you in faith again. Because God, we know that you're hearing us when we pray. And God, we give you thanks, Lord, that despite what it may look like, even if things get worse, God, we know that you hear our prayers and you are moving, and we give you thanks for it right now. Oh, hallelujah. We give you glory and praise and honor for what you're doing in these people's lives, for what you're doing in our midst right now, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you glory, we give you praise, we give you honor. Hallelujah. 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 There's seven words that are in the Hebrew language that we have translated into praise. And I just saw this. I want you to do it if you're brave enough. There's one called Tauda. So there's Judah, a Judah praise where you lift your voice and you just praise God, you lift your hands. But then there's a Tauda praise that a lot of people think it's very similar to Judah, but it's not. Because your Tauda praise is literally, it means to throw up your hands and to throw up your praise. And so this is what I want you to do right now. Just release that. Throw your praise up to God. Like, it's done. Yep. It's all done. We've released it to you. Hallelujah. This is our Tauda praise, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I search the world, and it couldn't feel me. Man's empty praise. Treasures of faith are never enough. Oh, can you get along? Put me back together with every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you, there's nothing better. not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you see them all, and you still call me friend. Cause the God of the mountain, he's the God of the valley, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. No, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. No, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Yes, I know. Yes, I know that there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. No, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Cause there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. No, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Cause there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. No, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, one more time. No, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Lord, there's nothing better than you, Lord. Hallelujah. There's nothing better than you, Lord. Come on. Don't rush this. Don't miss what God's doing right here. This is part of our praise that we know He's heard us. He's heard us when we've prayed. He's moving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. There's nothing better than you. No, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Sing it out.
There is nothing better than you. Oh, Jesus, there's nothing better.
There's nothing is better than you.
Hallelujah, there's nothing better than you, Jesus.
There's nothing
better than you.
There's nothing better than you.
Sister Linda, keep him in here. Don't take him out.
To show you my weakness, my failures and flaws, Lord, you see them all, and you still call me friend.
Oh, he loves us no matter what.
Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
No, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing.
Oh, Jesus,
better
there's
than you. No, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Oh, Jesus.
No, there's nothing.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. just keep playing quietly. Allison is the person that's helping me this morning in the leadership role, and she has a testimony she's going to share with you. Right now is the time that you need to hear this, and then I'm going to do something pretty amazing this morning, but I want you to just go ahead and share this, okay?
I was around the age of 12 when I started struggling with some stuff mentally. Instead of talking to my parents about it, I kept to myself. I eventually started to blame God and didn't understand why he was letting this happen to me. I got angry with him. I didn't want anything to do with him or the church. And I told myself that God wasn't real to try to cover up the anger inside of me. For 3 years, I tried to find happiness and hope in other things that I couldn't find it. I grew tired of the place that I was in, and I wanted things to change. I look back on all the times that I was actually happy, and I realized that it was only when I had God in my life. At church, I would see everyone with smiles on their faces, and they would just be worshiping God. And I remember when I was younger, and I was also so excited to go to church. I missed that feeling, and I was tired of fighting everyone. After that, I realized that I was just scared. And I was afraid of what people might think of me. And I was also afraid that I wouldn't be able to live up to the Christian standards. But I also realized that none of that mattered. It doesn't matter what people think or what society thinks. The only thing that matters is what God thinks. And I know that now. So I rededicated my life back to Christ during one of our teen classes. And I don't regret it. You're still going to have hard times. And there's still going to be things that come against you. But God won't let you go through anything that you can't get through. Yeah. And he doesn't let you go through things just because he wants you to suffer. He lets you go through things because you'll have a testimony that you can share with other people that are struggling through the same thing. Yeah. So I encourage you that if you know someone who isn't saved or who is backslidden, don't give up on them. Keep praying and interceding for them because God will get a hold of them.
Amen. Hallelujah. 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 God is so good, isn't he? God is moving in the midst of this service right now in very powerful ways. And I knew that that was the appropriate time for Allison to share her testimony because we just had someone else come and receive Jesus Christ, dedicate their life. That's to encourage you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now this is first fruits here. This is first fruits, what we're reaping here, seeing God move at the beginning of this year because of what he has planned. And so this isn't, these things don't happen so that we can go, oh, praise God, you know, he's moving and we can sit back and relax. No, no, no. These are to spur us on to keep young people diving deeper, deeper, right? That's their thing this year, deeper. They're going deeper. We're going to keep pushing on. We're going to keep shining the light of Jesus as this church called the Lighthouse because we're seeing God move. And my expectation, listen to me closely, isn't that we just see people come on our Sunday mornings and receive Jesus, but we're going to see it on Wednesday nights. And then we're going to start hearing testimonies of people that are coming in the church and saying, you know, I was with this person at the grocery store and God just laid them on my heart. I went up and began to share with them and I prayed with them. They received Jesus Christ. Guess what? They're here with me in church this morning. You know, that's how it's supposed to work, right? That's how it's supposed to work. The church house, the building isn't so much for receiving salvation for people. And we do that when it need, obviously, when it needs to happen. But the church house is for us to gather together to encourage one another, build each other up in our faith so we are sent out. Amen. And be the church and see people's lives transform and change. So I needed to share that with you that this is just the beginning of what we're seeing this year. But thank you, Sister Linda, for not taking him out. And I can't remember his name right now. Lorenzo. I wanted to share something with you just as good teaching from your pastor. Sometimes people are being drawn by the Holy Spirit, moved by the Holy Spirit. in a service and their children are there with them, and you'll notice sometimes the kids will begin to cry when they come forward. Some people think, oh, it's just scary for them to be up front. And I don't buy that. This is, and you can disagree with me if you want to, and that's fine, but this is what I feel like God has showed me, is they're sensitive to their parents, and they know that something's happening, and they're sensitive to the Spirit of God. And sometimes they begin to cry because they don't know what else to do. I mean, come on, people, how many times you cry in church because you don't know what else to do, right? But they don't understand what's going on. And the crying then makes them fearful. We need to teach them that that's totally normal. And I'm not knocking anything you guys did. You're just trying to be, you know, reverent to the Spirit and all that. And because that's what we've been taught. But we need to unlearn some things. Kids can cry in church. They need to be in the atmosphere of what God's doing. And they need to know that it's okay if they cry. They need to know if it's okay if they get a little noisy sometimes, because who knows, something like last week at baby making that noise, is, they told me later, she's the talker out of the twins. We don't know, that might be her praise to Jesus. You understand there's something in each and every one of us that is compelled to give God praise, even as babies, even before we come to the knowledge that we need Jesus as a Savior. So we need to... I understand we're doing because we don't want distractions and stuff like that, but there's moments where it's totally appropriate to let kids be noisy and to let kids cry. And so Lorenzo was feeling the presence of God this morning as what was going on in his life, just didn't know what was going on because he's connected to his mother. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? So much God loves us. And so I think that we need to celebrate for a moment. If we don't get to all the stuff that is planned, how many know that's going to be okay? Because we're doing what God has planned right now. But do you not realize that the Bible talks about the rejoicing that goes on in heaven when just one soul comes to Jesus Christ and receives him? And sometimes, church, I'm just going to tell you, we just treat it too nonchalantly. Like, oh yeah, cool, someone got saved. Someone was just dead. And God, by His Holy Spirit, breathed life into her, and now she's alive. Brianna is alive. She's alive. Now, I want to share this with you, and then we're going to celebrate a little bit. We're going to celebrate because of what we've been hearing, the testimonies coming forth from the youth services. I'm celebrating because my daughter rededicated her life and shared that testimony with you. I'm celebrating because Brianna came and rededicated her life today. But there's two thoughts on the scripture that I just referred to when it talks about, you know, and the angels, in the presence of God, the angels are rejoicing. Some people think, oh, you know, it's the angels in heaven, they're rejoicing, and that might be going on. But there was another take just recently that I was studying and reading on, and I want to share it with you. It was that in the presence of God, there's rejoicing going on when one soul receives Jesus Christ. And the angels are there watching it, almost astounded. Like, what just happened? Because you see, they've never experienced that since they're heavenly beings. So they're in the presence of God, they're with God, and they're going, what is this that's coming up to the throne of God right now? What is this? This is amazing. What is this praise? That is our praise going up to heaven. See, the angels watch us, you know that? And sometimes there's scripture, and it's kind of vague, but there's scripture that talks about how the angels are going, they're watching us going, what is that right there? Because they're not human beings. They're not experiencing what we've experienced before. And so here's the thing. Let's shake heaven this morning, since heaven has shook us, right? Let's shake heaven with our praise this morning. and our thanksgiving of what he's done in our midst. We talk about wanting a manifestation of God's presence, and sometimes we get too kooky with that. Like, God, send us a cloud to hover over us. Let us see gold dust fall from the ceiling. Let us see the cloven tongues of fire that's on top of each head. Can you not see the manifestation of God in this place this morning? That is cause for celebration. A daughter has come home this morning. Come on, let's sing, let's praise God.
Clap a little louder than before. I want to shout louder than before. I want to sing louder than before. I want to jump a little higher than before. Oh, freedom, 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 freedom. I want to clap a little louder than before. I want to sing louder than before. I want to spin wilder than before. I want to shout louder than before. Oh, let's sing freedom, 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 freedom. Oh, freedom. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free. No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. Oh, no more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am. No more shackles, no more chains. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we sing freedom, 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 freedom.
No music, just words.
Freedom, freedom, freedom.
Oh, one more time, let's sing.
Freedom, 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 freedom.
Hallelujah. Come on, lift your voice and praise unto him this morning for everything he's doing. We serve a good God. We serve a loving God. He's rescuing people. He's rescuing lives. He's rescuing us from situations. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise be the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know what God's doing in our midst. I want you to understand. Go ahead and find your seat if you wish to. You can stand up here and keep worshiping Jesus if you want to. There's some things that I feel like I need to do this morning. And I know that we had some other things planned, but I don't know why, but I feel like we just need to keep the students in here this morning. And I don't plan on going very much longer, but you know, well-laid plans, how they go. So I'm going to try to do my best just to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And there's some things that I need to share with you concerning where God is leading us and directing us as a church. And I've been very, I want you to understand this, I've been very, very reverent. And I'm doing everything I can to be patient. Because there's some things I want to release to you that I know that God is working in us, already planting and stirring seeds in us, but I keep hearing from the Spirit, it's not time yet. It's not time yet. And so if you feel like last couple weeks, hopefully you're getting what God wants to deliver to you through the message that I feel like God's laid on my heart. But if you feel like it's been a little scrambled, it's because I'm scrambled because I'm trying to really hone in and just only say what God wants me to say as we're laying out this year and where God is taking us. And those of you that know me really well, know my personality really well, know that I'm not patient by nature. My wife is, you know, shaking her head. Amen. Yeah, that's true. I'm not patient by nature. And when I hear something or see something, I want to go and do it. And I blame it on my athletic days because I was trained as a linebacker. When you see the gap, you shoot the gap. You feel the gap hard because that's where the ball's coming. Or when I was wrestling, if something gets opened up, a takedown or a movement that opens up, you take that right now because if you don't, you'll miss the window. You'll miss the window. And I get that that is kind of true in spiritual things because you don't want to miss the window that God opens when he does. But at the same time, how many know that sometimes you study an opponent and you know what they're going to do before they do it, and if you're not careful, you'll jump the gun and you'll go too early because you already know what's going on. And that's kind of what it's been with me with what God has been really, people nowadays like to use the word download, but you know, what God is just really putting in my heart, he's showing me things to come, and I want to just jump the gun and go, all right, let's go do this, you know, and that. And God's going, no, you're going to get out of my order. You're going to get out of my order. And so God has been delivering some steps to me, some steps. And the first step we're in right now is that we need to make sure on an individual, a personal basis, that our hearts are back following God where they need to be. That's why we started out with 21 days of consecration and we shut every program down, every ministry, except for just coming together in the presence of God, saying, God, our lives are yours. And we consecrate our life to you, and we're coming back to you. And so the first step is to make sure, I'm going to use these two words that get thrown around all the time and are misunderstood, but we have to make sure that our hearts have been awakened. Our hearts have been revived. And if you look in Scripture, a lot of times when it talks about a reviving, a revival, or an awakening, it's not talking about the world around God's people. It's talking about God's people. When God said to prophesy to the dry bones that they were dead, he's talking to his people, that they have become dead. They've become dry. They're no longer following me. They're no longer doing what I have asked of them to do. They're no longer listening to my voice, and so they're dead. And so I want to make sure that we fully get this because we talk about having a revival. We talk about wanting to see an awakening, and I think sometimes our perspective is that the church is okay. It's our society and the environment we live in that needs the awakening. Well, here's my challenge to you and an argument I would like to present to you. If the church is okay, then why is society not okay? If the church is doing what they're supposed to be doing, then why are we seeing sin run rampant? Because when we saw the first and second great awakenings, what we call them, it changed society. But now what we're experiencing is society's changing the church. And we like to harp on our little soapboxes, hobby horses, whatever you want to call it. We like to stand up on them and we like to harp on that all day long. Well, God bless it, I can't understand why so-and-so would let this go on and so and that. And then we want to point fingers at each other because, well, our church isn't this and our church isn't that, but this church, you know, this is what they do. Do you think we're really helping our cause when we're fighting amongst ourselves? So it's time that the church gets back to where they're supposed to be. So we're on step one right now, which is for a church or a group of people to come together and do what God wants them to do, it must start in the individual heart first. We can never expect a whole group of people to get together if nothing's happened inside the personal heart first. So step one is me. And it's not this whole mindset of our generation. It's all about me and what I want. You know, I don't understand why. I don't know if anybody thought this morning or not, but I'm just going to call it out because it came to me. Maybe God's dealing with something. I don't understand why Sister Betty wasn't up there singing this morning. She's our worship leader. She should be up there singing. That attitude is that church is all about me. Well, they sang that first song, and praise God, that was an old one. I enjoyed that. Why didn't they sing the rest of them as old ones like that? Or some of you young people said, man, I ain't never heard that song before. What is that? Blood bought the church, the redeemed. What does that even mean, right? And you guys shut down and didn't worship because you were lost. Come on, I'm just calling things out. It isn't about us. What is about us is that how far have we gotten away from Jesus? That's the heart reflection that we are in the midst of right now. And we are seeing God move amongst us the way that He is because there are people who are going, oh, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. I've gotten way too far away from you. My focus is on the wrong thing, and I've been looking at this. And it wasn't that you didn't love God. It wasn't that you weren't serving God. And if you died in that state, you would have made it to heaven. You would have. But you were so distracted, you were missing your destiny that God had placed in your life, your purpose. You were just going along to get along, trying to get by and make it to heaven. And God said, no, you are my church. You should be about my business. So we get so focused on our own personal struggles that we start forgetting about the world around us. And we are in the process of, and listen to the words closely, process. Because we haven't made it yet. We haven't arrived yet. We think, oh, this is good church. Folks, if we keep pressing in, we ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. It's not about just having good church services. I'll tell you, the litmus test is when we start seeing this happening outside of this building. Far too long, from decade to decade to decade to decade, we'd have churches that had great moves inside of a building. And we made it all about that. Come and see, come and see, come and see. That's cool and that's all fine. That's good. That's going to happen. But there should be such a presence and power of God that takes place that there's an overflow. It just keeps gushing out of us. And everywhere we go, we're affecting the atmosphere, we're affecting the presence, and it makes people nervous. People can't stand it. Some people are going to get mad at you because you're walking with so much fullness of the power and glory of God. Other people around you are going to go, what in the world? And be attracted to you. You're going to have all this going on. And if you stay caught up in your heart or in your feelings, like this generation wants to teach you to do, you're going to be all mixed up. Because you're going to be like, well, why does this person hate me while this person all of a sudden loves me? It's the glory of God in your life. It has nothing to do with your personality or who you are or your feelings being hurt or not hurt. And I'm saying all this because I love you that much. To say, let's get over it. Let's get over it. The world needs an example of people to say, guess what? You can say whatever you want to say to me. You can do whatever you want to do to me. You can treat me however you want to treat me. And yet, because of the love of Jesus in my life, I refuse to stop loving you back. So step one is God's dealing with some things in us. God is dealing with some heart issues. Well, let's just say it like this. God is dealing with soul issues. Our heart, which is our emotions, our mind, which is our intellect, and our will, which are our desires. Don't raise your hand, but just think about this. The first 21 days of this year, as we walk through that, how many of you started realizing that some of your desires were changing? The thing that you thought was so important for you to do, that you desired to do, that you had to do, that TV show that you could not miss, that activity, that scrolling on social media that you were so connected to, all of a sudden you're seeing that desire is waning and a new desire is coming. And some of you are in conflict going, yes, but this is what I do in my spare time and I just enjoy doing this. And then you're asking yourself why you're doing it. Why am I doing this? Because God is changing your desires. And here's the scriptures to prove it. Remember, we're talking about the vision where God's taking us. Now, God's so cool. God put it in my heart this week to put a link to our YouVersion event. And I thought, that's strange. I mean, we have a YouVersion event every week and we used to talk about it. We stopped talking about it. But it's like, what's the big deal? Everybody follows the screen. Everybody follows the screen. I'm going to talk about evidence that God knows what's going to happen. Right before we start worship, pop, some of you heard it. Our ball blew. Nobody can follow the screen this morning. So those of you that want to follow along, you can either go to our app and click on the link of the announcement I sent out this morning, or you can go to your YouVersion app and go to our event and see the scriptures that God's given me for today as we walk through this. Young people, you understand technology, turn to the older person beside you and show them how to get there. If you're like, you know what, I'm old school, then grab your Bible. Hallelujah. How many know that Jesus is for everybody? Go to John chapter 1 with me. And we've been talking about Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, recovering sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, those that are in bondage and those that are beat up, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is what God has really stirred in us to do. This is our vision. This is what we see ourselves doing all the time. And how we step into that is how we relay this. But remember, we cannot complete Luke 4:18-19 if there's stuff that's in us that's not right. So step one is taking care of us, getting us back to Jesus where we're supposed to be. And so God began to show me some things at the beginning of this year. And I'm going to tell you right now, Sister Tricia Troiano can tell you, this scripture has been in my notes for at least the past 3 weeks, right? And I have not been able to get to it. Everybody say, hallelujah. He's made it there. Right? So John 1:1-5 says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Let's pause for a moment and see. That means that from the very beginning, there was the Word, right? He was there, and he was with God, but not just hanging out beside God. He was God. And we know it's a he because verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. Now, I love this because this New Testament scripture begins to parallel how the book of Genesis starts. In the beginning, right? So he's saying in the beginning, he's letting us know. And so then he says this, verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So we know for sure, using good hermeneutics is a fancy word that we just use to let us know that, are we taking scripture and understanding it appropriately and matching it with other scripture appropriately? So when we talk about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, when we correlate it to creation, we have proof or evidence that that was the intent, because it says all things were made through him or by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. You understand? So that's good textual evidence to tell us that this is talking about creation. Not in the beginning. In the beginning of what? We don't know until we read verse 3. He's talking about creation. At the very beginning of creation, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right? And then verse 5 says this, or verse 4. Don't let me miss verse 4. In him, who's him? The Word, right? That's all we know right now, the Word. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5 says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it, or does not comprehend it, right? So we have this passage talking about this man. We know it's he, because that's what the scripture says, called the Word. The Word was with God, the Word was God, the Word was in the beginning with God, and everything that was created in this beginning was made by the Word. And then we know that in this thing called the Word, there was life. There's life in the Word. Everyone say, there's life in the Word. Okay, now a few verses down that I don't have in my notes, it says this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That tells us who the Word is. Jesus. John the Beloved is writing this letter to the church so that the church can understand and know that the Word that has been sent forth by God himself, the Word that was with God and the Word that is God, is Jesus Christ. That means that he is divinity. He is divine. He is God. And we cannot separate him from being God. This is good doctrine. Say, this is good doctrine, Pastor. Preach, Pastor. Okay, I think I will. We cannot allow ideology outside of what God has taught us in the Word to infiltrate his church and buy into these lies. Jesus is God. He's divine. And if he's not, then the very Bible that we live by is a lie. You can't have it both ways. And this is why it's always interesting to me how other religions, and I'm not harping on other religions right now, I'm just telling you the truth. They want to accept Jesus as a man. They want to accept him as a prophet. They want to accept him as a good teacher. But apparently they haven't read what he said. Because he distinctly said some things that made him either the Son of God and God himself in the flesh, or a complete lunatic, heretic, and a person trying to start his own little group. So if you believe that he was only a man and he was not God, then you can't accept him as a good teacher or a prophet to your religion, because he said, I am God. He said it. He proclaimed these things. And so if he proclaimed these truths to be true and they're not, then he's a liar and he can't be a good teacher and he can't be a prophet. So you have to face the facts that either Jesus is who he said he is and was, or he's not. See, the decision for every person comes down to this. Do I believe Jesus? Do I really believe Jesus? This is the start of everything. This is where our whole entirety of our salvation hinges upon. Do I believe Jesus? Not just in Jesus, do I believe Jesus? Do I believe what he said? Because if I believe it, then I have to accept him as divinity. He is God. And that this is what this means then. That when he, as the word, Jesus Christ, is spoken, it is by the power and the authority of the Father himself. And it comes forth and it is life. So those of us that have come to the realization, the revelation, that Jesus is who he says he is, and we believe Jesus, we believe in Jesus, we've accepted Jesus, then guess what we now have? Life. We have life. And what is this life? The scripture teaches us that this life was the light of men. Now check this out. This also parallels Genesis. Because he says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And God moved upon the face of the waters through the Holy Spirit. And then it says, and God said. There's the word. So we have God the Father. We have the Holy Spirit moving upon the earth. And we have the word. There's the Holy Trinity. Now, while we also know that the word Trinity is not in the Bible, so to speak, we see it displayed in our midst. God in his divinity, three parts working in harmony together. And, you know, it's hard for us to understand this, but it's because we don't even understand ourselves. Are we not body, soul, and spirit? Three. Yet we're one. But we're three, but we're one, but we're three, but we're one, but we're three, but we're one, but we're three. Do you serve one God? Yes. But you just listed three. Yeah, he's one God, but he's three. It's a mystery. It's only revealed a little bit to us. And I guarantee you that when you get to heaven, you're going to go, oh. Yeah. But for now, it's by faith. So we see here, the word is at the creation. The Bible says, and God said. What was the very first thing God spoke? Let there be light. Let there be light. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. That's what the scripture says. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Men meaning humanity, people in general, all people. Life is formed in light, and that's why God said, let there be light. Not, I'm going to speak life into existence. No, let there be light. Why is this important? Well, we're called the lighthouse. God gives us different themes of different groups of people that gather together. He gives us different themes, different ideas, and different visions on which we are to follow. We are called the lighthouse. We are the house that holds the light. Right? Okay? So if we are the house that holds the light, what I've been teaching to you about living in God's holy temple, which is the acronym of light, what I'm telling you is that God has placed life inside of each and every one of us, and it comes or shines through us in the form of light. It's light. And so here's the thing. He follows this statement in the book of John that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He says this then. And it seems like if you're reading the text, just reading the text within itself, contained within itself, it seems like all of a sudden he breaks from this theme of the word and progression of creation and all of this, because he says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't overcome it. But he doesn't, does he? Because if we go back to Genesis, he says that there was darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Holy Spirit is hovering, waiting upon the command from the Word. And as God the Father releases the Word to be spoken, Jesus Christ, it comes forth, moves the Holy Spirit, and in the midst of utter darkness, life comes forth in the form of light. This is the creation story. We think it's just about creating the world. Do you not realize that the whole point that God created everything that he has is so that he could bring forth his son Jesus, so that his prize creation called humanity could come unto him? So when he's talking about in the midst of darkness, there comes a light. He even said in the midst of great darkness comes a great light. Who is that great light? He's Jesus. He is life. And when he is spoken into our hearts and into our lives, there is a light that illuminates within us that we cannot contain. You say, so how does all this come together? I'll tell you how it comes together. Because for far too long, the individual Christian that comes to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, that's dedicated to attendance, that we have coined being faithful. Oh, they're so faithful. Sister Betty and Brother Jim, they're so faithful. They never miss it from the house of God. Now, here's the truth. They are faithful. But it's not just because they come to the building. Faithfulness is holding on to the fact that God has given us life in the form of light, and we refuse to cover it up. We refuse to hide it under a bushel. We refuse to not let our light shine. No. We are going to let this thing called life come beaming forth out of us in every situation, in every place we are, in everything that we do. We allow this glory and this power that's come alive inside of us to come out of us. That is being faithful. But the problem is we've gotten so stuck in this form of godliness. Yeah, I'm preaching to the Pentecostal church. I'm preaching to the Pentecostal church that believes in the power of God, believes in speaking in tongues, believes in laying on of the hands and seeing the sick recover and all that. And how often have we really seen it happen? You know what the Pentecostal church is? It's the loudmouth uncle that just talks all the time and has nothing to back it up with. Come on, church. I'm preaching to you to provoke you to love and good works this morning. I'm preaching to you to let the light shine forth from you, that the life of God that lives inside of you, the Zoe, the life, it will shine forth and change the world around it. We talk the talk, but we don't walk the walk. Oh, my God's a healer. My God's a deliverer. Well, hey, pastor, I heard that this person's demon possessed. Let's go pray for him. I don't feel the Lord leading me to do that. Or let's take it the next step further. I think this person's sick and afflicted. I think this person's demon possessed. I think this person needs deliverance. They need Jesus. Well, we better call the pastor. You see, we run our mouth and we say all the right stuff that's in the scripture because we've memorized the scripture. But here's my question, church. Is it really in us? Because when the word is in us, that means that there's life in us. And that life then must come forth out of us in a display of light. So the first step is for us to get back to where we need to be. The first step is, I'm just going to just say it like this. First step is that I don't want to hesitate anymore when I feel like God's telling me to do something I think's radical. I don't want to hold back, and I don't want it to be me working things up and creating things in myself and making things up and all that. No, no, no. I want to just be Johnny on the spot. I don't have to feel anything. I mean, I can feel like a dead fish laying there. But because I hear something speaking to me, which is my Bible, that says, hey, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I don't feel the goosebumps or the tinglings of the Holy Ghost. I don't feel the unction. I don't feel the anointing. Not in the midst of this great praise and worship service where everything's hopping and everything's feeling good and then I'm going to lay hands. No, no. I obey the command of God because I come to the place and know that there's life in me that needs to be imparted to somebody else. See, I think it's time that we start asking ourselves the hard questions. What's making us hold back? What's making us not really share our faith with people? The truth has to be that it's something in us. So the first step for us to be the lighthouse is to be the house of light. Have we allowed our light to dim? See, there was a lampstand in the midst of the temple and the tabernacle that was supposed to stay lit. It was supposed to be burning. And because the people of God were not tending to the temple like they were supposed to be, things weren't being done right. They even lost the glory when they took out the ark and they all shouted and danced. They were Pentecostal that moment. Hallelujah, the presence of God is here. We're going to win the battle for now, for sure now. We're going to win this battle for sure now because the presence of God is here. We have the ark before us and we're going to win. And guess what? They lost and the glory got stolen from them. Look, obviously this morning we displayed and I'm for it. I'm all for getting loud. I'm all for getting wound up. There were some of you that when we went from Tau to praise, you automatically just went to Halal praise. Because it just come out of you. That's great. I love that. I'm all for that. But if we don't have any power to back it up, then all we have is a form of godliness. And we're denying the very power thereof. I'm hungry, church. I'm so hungry to see a real move of God. Not just a good shouting service. Not just to have us a good time on a Sunday morning. I'm hungry to see God's power and glory displayed in the earth. And the only conclusion I can come to of how that takes place after reading the Bible is it has to happen in me. That means that I can't be fooling around this thing anymore. I can't be a Sunday Christian and then Monday through Friday do what I want to do and come back on Sunday and go, oh yeah, this is cool. Isn't this fun? No, the light must shine within me. the light must shine within me. For us to be the lighthouse, the light must shine within me. The life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. It cannot. You know why? Do you know that darkness is nothing? Darkness is the absence of light. I think scripturally I just proved to you that light is the evidence of life. Right? Therefore, darkness means that there's no life there. We even can say this when we talk about terms of knowing Jesus, not knowing Jesus. The Bible says they're in darkness. There's no life there. It's not until the Holy Spirit brings revelation or a light bulb goes off that Jesus is Lord and He's my Savior. Then life enters in us and we become a living soul once again unto God. It's a miracle. I'm telling you, it's the greatest miracle that happens. It's so amazing. That's why I was like, let's rejoice with Brianna this morning, what God did. It's amazing. So darkness is the absence of light or the absence of life. It's nothingness. Nothing. That's what darkness is. It's nothingness. Yet as the church, we have become scared of the dark. We have become scared of the dark.
So I don't know about that, Pastor. I'm not scared of the dark. Yeah?
When's the last time you decided to find the most filthiest, ugliest place of sin that you know of and you went down there and witnessed those people? Well, we can't let our good be evenly spoken of. You know, we can't cast our pearls before swine. I mean, why would... No. I'm telling you right now, I believe this with all my heart, that if you begin to pray and really pray for the lost, and you said, God, send me to the worst area where sin seems to run the most rampant, God would take you there and you could stand in the midst of the bar and preach Jesus Christ to them, and people would get saved if you would let the light of God flow through you. Why? Because the darkness cannot overcome the light. I'm not worried about sinning if I go to a bar. I have the light and life of Jesus in me. They should be worried about getting saved. But the truth is, the church has become scared of the dark. Well, we don't know what's in that. Who cares what's in it? When you step in it, there's light. I'm preaching this to you because I'm stirred up. I mean, these first 21 days of this year, I know we're in February already, but I keep going back to that because I got stirred. I hope that you got stirred. I hope that you got wound up and say, let's go do something for Jesus. Let's stop buying into the lies of the enemy and the tricks and the casting shadows that he tries to make us think, seem like something's there when there's really nothing there. He's a counterfeit. We have the life of God that lives inside of us. And it should come forth in the form of a light. So this is what I want to do now. Now that we've had such a great service, great time, worship God, and Pastor got up and he should have preached on the Holy Ghost. We all got filled with the Holy Ghost, went down home happy. Oh, Pastor gets up and he's such a drag. You saying all this stuff for, man? We just had God move in our service. Yeah, and it makes me more hungry. Doesn't it make you more hungry? I'm going, oh, come on, God, give us more. And you know what I keep hearing? The question asked back. You ever notice Jesus always answers a question with a question? So, God, can we have more? He always answers that with, can you handle more? Are you ready for more? I don't know. That's my response. I don't know. But I want to be. Do you want to be? I want to be. And so let's stir our hearts. Let's not be easy on each other. Nobody gets better when we're easy on one another. We get better when we push each other. We do it in love. We do it with tenderness and kindness and compassion to say, man, I love you. And I love you so much, I don't want to stay where we are. I don't want to just hold on until Jesus comes back. I don't want to do that. I want to see a triumphant church. When Jesus asks, when he comes back, will he find faith? I want to say, yeah, there's going to be faith here in this group of people. We're going to have faith in Jesus, and we're going to continue to do his work until he comes back. How many are ready to do that? You ready to do that? Let's do that. Let's not talk about it. Let's do it. Let's do it. So last week we ended service with prayer, and we're going to do the same this morning. Last week we were in Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 6. And so for those of you that keep record of how long Pastor preached, you have to stop the clock now. I'm not preaching anymore. Okay? This is prayer time, but I have to exhort to you the Word of God because the Word of God is a prayer book, right? We have to pray the Bible. So last week we started praying in Isaiah chapter 6, and I thought maybe we would just go to it again this week, but I always already heard the Holy Spirit tell me, nope, we're going to have to at least do this for 3 weeks, if not longer. And I told you, just to refresh your memory, I told you that it starts out in the year the King Uzziah died. The righteous leader died. Righteousness was no longer in leadership. And what we have to understand, and we can discern through studying of Scripture, through studying of historical documents, through studying of the life of Isaiah the prophet, we find out that he was heartbroken that the King Uzziah died because he knew he was a holy, godly king. And Isaiah wanted God's will to happen amongst his people. So doesn't it sound like the church now? We feel like we don't have righteous leadership and now we're heartbroken. We're all upset. We're all mad. And listen to me, if we're not careful, we allow that to consume our conversation. Consumes our conversation. And instead of us talking about what the next part of this scripture says, but then I saw the Lord high and lifted up. And his train, or his glory, that's what it represented in that day, the train. So the longer the train a king had, the more glory or honor a king had. His train filled the temple. Now, remember, we've been preaching this, living in God's holy temple. Where's the temple now? Not this building. Here, right here. So his glory fills us. As we see him high and lifted up, his glory fills us. And we hear the seraphims crying. We talked about this a little bit last week too. That they're crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they're doing that not because they're forced to by God. They're doing that because they're in the midst of God. They see him in all his awe and wonder and glory. And they say, holy, 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 right? So what we have to do is we have to stop focusing on the physical world and whether our leaders are being righteous or not, and understand and know that we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's still high and lifted up on his throne, and his glory is still more glorious than it ever has been before. And as we praise him, crying, holy, 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 we get our minds off of the focus of the temporary and all that's going on around us, and we get our minds and hearts refocused upon God, who is eternal, who's taking care of every situation. It's what we began to do as we were interceding this morning. If you didn't realize, we were singing songs about how great and powerful our God was. He's our defender. He is wonderful. He's an overcomer. And hallelujah, all of a sudden, something started stirring in our hearts. Hey, let's pray for these people then, because our God is going to move. Right? But I want you to see, and I want you to go there, get your phone, get your Bible, whatever. Go there with me this morning, Isaiah chapter 6, or Isaiah, however you want to say it. I'm a hillbilly. I say Isaiah. He sees this whole picture before him. One cried unto the other, verse 3, and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And at their praise, the temple began to shake. It says, and the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Now, listen, we, like I said this morning, we read this stuff and we want to see this type of manifestation. If God does that, cool, right? That's pretty cool. But I think it's more amazing when God enters a person who was dead and they now become alive. So he's experiencing this powerful move of God. And God is helping him get his focus off of the natural and put it back on the spiritual or the heavenly, right? This is what we need to do. I just preached this to you. We need to get ourselves back in alignment with Jesus. Amen? What happens to Isaiah after he sees this glory? Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. When he sees God and his glory, and he begins to see the seraphims, the burning heavenly beings, the burning ones. That's what seraphim means. He sees them worshiping him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy. He doesn't want to get up and join them. He doesn't go say, oh man, this is so awesome. His response is, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I live in a group of people of unclean lips. Listen to me, church. It's time that we humble ourselves before God and we realize that we've been running our mouths. We've been talking about things that we should not be talking about. I'm not talking about unholy, ungodly things. I'm talking about just the things of this world that we are allowing to overtake us, to overcome us, and to consume us. The problems and the cares of this world. And Jesus told us the parable that if we're not careful, we will allow those things to be weeds that grow up and choke out the life that we have been given. Could it be that the church is not shining forth the light and the life of Jesus Christ because we've allowed the cares of this world to choke it out of us? Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. We're talking about stuff we shouldn't be talking about. We're focused on stuff that we should not be focused on. And if we would just be in the presence of God all the time, not in a church service, but just be the church, understanding and knowing that our Lord, he is God. And it doesn't matter who else is in leadership around the world. There's going to be evil people that do evil things. But where iniquity abounds, the grace of our God doth much more abound. And it's supposed to be in us. And as we step into the darkness, we shine forth his light. So it's time that we repent of our wickedness. We repent and turn away from that. Because when Isaiah did this, what happens? Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. Now think about that. The burning one, the seraphim, that's what it means, the burning one, couldn't touch the coal with his hands. He had to take it from the altar with tongs. And then he takes those tongs and touches the lips of Isaiah and purges his mouth. So this is what we're going to do this morning. We're going to pray for the fire of God. But we're not going to pray for it as in the understanding of the old Pentecostal way. See, we equate the fire to an outpouring of the Holy Ghost of us having a good time. So what we equate the fire to, because on the day of Pentecost, we saw split things of fire rest upon each of them. But we've misinterpreted what was going on there. You see, God showed up in the midst of a people that were hungry for him, that decided we're going to wait here until we receive what God said was coming. We believe Jesus. He said, don't go anywhere or don't do anything until you get it. They had no idea what they were looking for, but they also knew they would know when it showed up. And the fire came down, not so that they could shout and dance and sing and have a good time. No, no, no. That was the wind that blew. It gave them life, right? The wind blew and gave them life. The fire came to purify them, to make them a holy people. Just like the coal of fire that the seraphim brought with the tongs and touched Isaiah's lips. Notice Isaiah became the messianic prophet after this. He fulfilled his purpose. He began to understand his purpose. You see, he thought before he was going to be wrapped up and be one of these prophets that did it just like all the other godly prophets. But no, he was the one that began to declare the coming one. Oh, are you getting this? He declared the coming one. What are we doing? We're declaring the coming one. He came the first time. He's coming back again. We're declaring the coming one. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But we need our mouths purged. We need them sanctified. We need to stop talking about all the junk going on at work and getting involved with the gossip of the shop. Oh, come on now, Pastor, you're preaching good. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst a people of unclean lips. Woe is me. God, forgive us. Forgive us for speaking these nasty things out and becoming a part of the world that we're supposed to be transforming. Because you are God. And you are my King. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to repent. Last week we changed our focus. No, no, it's not about the government. We don't need the government to change. The church needs to change. How do we do that? We change by repenting. How many are ready for the fire? Come on, let's pray. Father God, we come before you right now. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the things that I've made it all about when it wasn't about those things at all. I'm sorry, God, for my focus being on the wrong thing. I repent and I turn away from it right now. I turn away. Forgive me. For Father, we've seen your glory revealed in our midst today. And we are so grateful and thankful for the life that you've given Brianna this morning. We're so thankful for the life you've given us. And God, we repent from focusing on the wrong thing. And we turn our face back to you right now. Now purge us and cleanse us. Bring the fire. Despite how uncomfortable it may be, God, give us the boldness and the strength to receive the purification of your fire. And turn our hearts back to you once again, so that your life may explode out of us in the form of light. God, grant it. It's not about us electing the right people. It's about us being your church. And as we are your church, then righteousness will rule and reign in our country once again. So forgive us for being a lazy people. Forgive us for being distracted and pulled away from you. God, let us live in your holy temple as you have called us to live in you. For Father, you have made us one with you. And how can light be joined to darkness? The two cannot exist together. So God, I thank you that first and foremost, you're shining your light in the midst of our souls, our bodies, the things that we've allowed to come in that are not of you. You're shining light in them right now. And you're bringing deliverance and wholeness to them as your light exposes these areas. God, we know that it's ugly. It's not pretty. It's things that we've tried to keep hidden from you. But God, we give it to you right now. We thank you for bringing it into your light so that we can be purged and cleansed from it right now. In the name of Jesus. Make us your holy church, God. Make us your holy church, God. Kamesh dubrost atishtishtishiki basi. Shukustitishtarabara mananamasa. Father, as we are purged by you, let us then step into the destiny that you've placed upon our lives to show forth your glory in the earth. God, you see our heart's desire. You see the lost souls that we've been praying for. We've prayed for some of them already today. God, we lift them up to you once again. God, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you are bringing deliverance and salvation to people's hearts and lives. I thank you that as we are awakened unto you and revived unto you, there will be others that have never known you, that will come to know you as their personal Savior and Lord, God. That those we come in contact with, we will have the boldness to share your life with them. And they will receive this life and forever be transformed and changed. God, I thank you for what you're doing in our midst, and we pray right now for the lost. We pray for the laborers to go into your fields to reap the harvest. And God, I thank you that you have stirred our hearts this day. I thank you for the excitement I feel in your people. And I thank you for the hunger that is within them, Lord. And I thank you that as we go forth from this building, that we will be your church. We will be your hands and your feet. That we will show forth your tender mercies, your loving kindness, and it will be revealed through us that we serve a great God. Father, as the pastor of this church, I send forth your mighty army this week. I thank you for divine appointments, Lord, right now. I thank you for bringing people to us and leading us to people. God, I thank you that their lives will be forever changed because not because they meant us, but because they meant you in us, Lord. God, I pray a blessing upon every home and family. Watch over them. Keep them safe. Strengthen them. Heal them. Guide them. We rebuke the attack of the enemy on your people right now. We hide under the shadow of the Almighty, and we let you fight our battles for us, Lord. And we will come forth victorious. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. We love you all. Have a great rest of your day.